So first of all, we just kind of wanted to let everybody know kind of where the LNH footprint is. We are a global company. As Steve mentioned, we're located in Gillette, Wyoming. That's where our corporate headquarters is. But this kind of gives you an idea as to where the locations are throughout the worldwide spectrum. Product lines over the last 50 years, LNH has slowly developed into a number of different product lines, and this just gives you a taste of those. Today, our focus is going to be on one product line, which is the shovels. We have 22 or 25 engineers at this point in time. Those engineers are focused on different improvements, areas that we can increase production, reduce safety hazards, increase maintenance intervals, different things like that. As we focus on the different parts, that's what our goal is to take those parts, provide parts that not only give you a lower total cost of ownership, but also to increase the safety factor, because safety factor, as you increase that for your employees, means less hospital bills, less insurance, increases the bottom line for the company, also to increase the maintenance intervals. So that's kind of the goal as we take a look at some of these different things as to what can we do to help improve the entire aspect and the improvement, not just of the machine and its functionality, but its sustainability. How can we reduce the amount of steel going back into the environment? How can we increase the safety for your employees? So those are the things we take into consideration as we go into these different points or these different products that we're going to take a look at. So first of all, our undercarriages. Undercarriages, we noticed throughout the years that there were different issues that came up due to undercarriages. One was the pitch growth. So as the undercarriage wore, the pitch growth ended up growing because of the wear on the pins and the wear in the ears on the shoes. So that was an issue. Shoe elongation, obviously, again, because of the wear. Toenails was always an issue mines had to deal with, had to stop production to cut those toenails so the shoes could continue to move properly. Broken lugs, bore life, different galling issues that ended up being encountered because of the types of steel that were continually being used. Small clearance with roller hubs and side frames. So as the roller path starts to collapse, then the lugs on the shoes start running up either into the side frames, and after an extended period of time, they actually run all the way up into the hubs on the lower rollers. So how could we get rid of some of those problems? And then uneven pin wear. Then we went on to the front idler. Anytime you have turning in the front idler, because that bushing is located in the center, we'd notice that you had some issues. The maintenance was miserable for front idlers. The only way to get in there to determine if you had or needed to replace that bushing was to split the tracks, take everything apart so you could get in there and see that bushing. So a huge maintenance project for the team and for the company whenever it came to just replacing a simple bushing in that front idler. This kind of gives you an idea of the leverage disadvantage when it came to the front idlers. You'll notice that as that machine is trying to turn, it is working on that bushing. So you end up with this hourglass effect on the bushing. Now, that's fine as long as you catch that bushing before it ends up disappearing. But as soon as that bushing disappears because of the wear, then you end up going right into the front idler. And then you end up with that hourglass effect on your front idler, which means not only do you get to put a new bushing in, but now you get to replace a front idler. So what we did is we looked at moving the bushing out away from the center, putting it out where you can see it, and then increasing the leverage 3-to-1. So that's what we did when it came to our straddle mount idler. So what we did here is we just simply took these bushings that were originally right in here. We keyed the idler to the shaft. We moved the bushings to the outside. And now, because of this, your maintenance is a lot simpler. You can get in there, just pull the coupler off. You can see that bushing. You can determine how much life you've got left. Put the coupler back on, go back to work if it doesn't need to be replaced. If it does need to be replaced, obviously it's a simple maintenance issue. Take the two blocks off, and then you just have two spare blocks in stock. throw them back on, send the blocks in for rebuild, get new bushings put in, and you're back up and running. No need to split the tracks anymore. No need to take that time to split those tracks. It increased maintenance intervals 100 to 300%, and it obviously an increase in safety and production. Again, anytime you don't have your mechanics, your guys out there working on this, that just means that their safety is increased because they're not getting their hands and things in areas where they could end up being hurt. Increased bearing area eliminates the hourglass wear. At some mines, we've seen lifetime cost savings of $150,000 or more just on this one aspect of the undercarriage. So a typical undercarriage, 25 to 30,000 hours in different areas, and that was the gauge that we used, this $150,000 as far as life savings, and just on the maintenance and the replacement of the bushings on that one part of the undercarriage. Now, you can actually take and increase your bearing life by going to a tough met bushing, and that will actually increase it almost threefold. So again, there would actually reduce the cost of maintenance and increase the maintenance intervals also for the customer. So it's available for just about, it's available for both machines. When it comes to the two different styles of machines, the only one that is not available for is any of the Bucyrus type machines that have the dead axle that run across the front of that those undercarriages, or those side frames, excuse me. So on to the shoes and the pins. We talked about some of the issues. Some of the things that we did, we went to a wider pin boss. We enhanced the pin material. We learned that if, as long as you have a dissimilar pin material, then your pins aren't going to be galling into your shoes. So that increased the life there. Went to larger diameter pins. We increased the depth of the roller path. The clearance radii was increased. We raised the clearance of the shoes and the roller hubs and the side frames, and then we helped refine the foundry process. So as we take a look at some of the things that we've commented on, we took those ears and we increased the width of the ears by an inch, and then also the meat around those ears, we increased that. Then when it came to the roller path depth, we increased the thickness here, actually raising that up, in effect pushing the shoe down a little bit. It also ends up lowering the lugs because the height here on the roller shoe depth is increased. And you'll see that here in this next part of the slide. So as you increase the roller depth, it drives this lug down, but then you increase this depth here, and in most cases it's almost double what the original design had. So now your side frame has twice as much time before it starts running into either the ears or the lugs on the shoes. So what we've seen over time is when we went with head-to-head contest against some of the original designs, many times we could see at least a 30 to 35% increase in the life of the undercarriage just with these two simple modifications. And again, due to lack of time, we can't go into every aspect of the undercarriage, but just focused on those two main aspects as to how we could increase the life of the undercarriage. On to the swing systems. So the L&H design swing system has looks very similar to the original design, but some of the things that we've done is we raised the height of the thrust rail so that now we're getting 300% more surface area when it comes to the area that roller is running across that thrust rail in comparison to the original design. The other thing that we did is we put in a fragment relief so that as those metal fragments develop, they have somewhere to go, and they don't just sit there and eat away on those rollers on that swing system. We also increased the size of the upper rail, and what that does is increasing it from 6.5 inches to 10.5 inches, it ends up adding more rigidity to the rev frame on the shovel. So that actually increases the stability and the rigidity of that so that you're not getting all of that motion effect and again wearing into that swing system. So here's a quick example of some of the comparisons. We've got two different designs. We've got the standard that you notice there in the middle. And then we've also got an option where you can have a replaceable thrust rail. So as it wears into that thrust rail, as long as everything else, the ring gear is in good shape and you've got plenty of room on those teeth to continue moving, and the rollers and the rest of the swing system is in good shape, you can go ahead and just replace that thrust rail and continue to run. So that increases, again, the life of that swing system. We also put in it a universal bolt pattern. This allows for anywhere from a 90 degree to 110 degree rotation. So at some mines, they'll rotate it three times, after the first install. Some mines, just because of the overlap, they'll go ahead and rotate it 110 degrees and get the three rotations out of that. And again, the replaceable thrust rail option. The second swing system style for Bucyrus owners is, you'll notice that it has that large frame that gets welded right onto the car body. And in order to replace this, that entire thing has to be taken off and either taken back in, new one replaced, or this can be rebanded. So the things that the other issue you have is with the carrier ring or the roller carriage on this, in this instance, it can't grow. So those rollers can't move in and out, and as it does continue to grow, sometimes it completely just fall apart. So we kind of took the same idea that we had with the original design, or the P&H design. We eliminated the outer band for increased service life. We increased the third rail thrust area by a factor of 5 to 1 on the Bucyrus machines, and then we added 10 rollers to give, again, that much more area for wear. So you'll notice one here that's getting ready to be shipped. It's got a replaceable ring gear. So now instead of having to take the entire system out and the entire mounting area, you can just leave that portion welded onto the car body once the new one's installed. And then when it comes time to replace that ring gear, you just unbolt it and then put the new ring gear into it. Again, a nice way to increase safety and reduce drastic maintenance due to having to take that mounting off, clean the car body all off, grind off all the old weld, and put the new swing system in. It doesn't require full removal when it comes time for the ring gear to be replaced. It reduces the changeout time, and again, no preparation for the car body once the system is installed. Onto car bodies. So some of the areas that we've worked on the car bodies, obviously the four corners, we've taken and improved the castings, we've taken them to forgings, and we make sure that those forgings, the grain structure is in the right direction so it reduces the possibility of cracking, and it increases the strength and the expected life. We also took a close look at the lower plate on the car body. We increased the thickness of that from 2.5 to 4 inches. But the other thing that we noticed was a lot of the cracking came because of where the manholes were located. So by simply taking a look at where some of those manholes were, moving them around, then we were able to reduce the cracking in the car body and even put those manholes in a lot better area for the customer. We added blades to the center pin journal, again, to increase the strength and the life. And after the first one that we had that ran after 3 years, we still did not have a crack one after 3 years of running that car body. So the redesign really turned out to be a real benefit to the customer and a lot less maintenance and, again, an increase in safety. So booms is another area on the shovels that we focused on. The shipper shaft boss thickness, we increased that One thing that does is it helps reduce the amount of heat that's going into it, because you've got so much more metal to absorb that. And obviously it'll increase the life of that boss. And then we also designed a replaceable thrust rail, or rub rail, excuse me, that was a lot simpler to replace. The original design has a gap, and so the idea is just go ahead and cut the thrust or the rub rail off and then replace it. But as you do that, a lot of times you have to repair and rebuild these portions back out to get the right distance. So what we did is we put a solid block in and then just put a backer plate and then some T1 plate on the outside, and now you simply do just arc it off, weld a new piece on, and the rebuild takes a lot less time and it's a lot simpler than the original design. Other upgrades on the boom foot and the boom points. We took these forgings and we moved these forgings. We made them a lot bigger. We moved the weld back farther so that we could get a lot more weld in these areas. And that, again, just gives us that much more strength so that we don't have to induce a small weld area to create an area for more cracking. So we pushed that back, made the weld areas a lot larger, and moved them back into the meatier part of the boom. And then same thing with the bottom plates. So on the bottom plates, we took note of where the cracking occurred, and we took and put larger bottom plates across this lower section, because that's where a lot of the cracking was induced. We increased the thickness in this area and then also in this area, but it's incremental. So it'll go from one size to a smaller size to the next size. And again, it just puts a thicker piece of plate in the areas where you find the most cracking. For the HR and HF owners, one of the things that you struggle with on those, and we're supposed to have a video here. Let's see if this thing happens. If not, we'll just explain it. So the issue that you have on the final drive shaft and your drive tumbler, when it comes to replacing either the final drive shaft or your drive tumbler, in that area you literally have to pull the transmission motor, the propel transmission and the motor out, and then pull that shaft on the inboard side. Well, we've taken and we've redesigned that so that you can leave your transmission mounted, you can leave the motor mounted, there's no realignment, it all just stays intact, and you actually will end up taking that shaft out the outboard side. And then you can replace your tumbler, replace bearings, whatever you need to replace, and put everything in and back from the outboard side, literally cutting your maintenance time in half for that particular procedure that the mines have to deal with. All right, so you won't get to see the video, but anyway, that's another design that, again, trying to reduce that maintenance and to increase the safety for the customer by allowing you to take that off on the outboard side. The other nice thing is once you make that modification, there's nothing wrong with ever going back to the original design. So if for some reason you decided you wanted to go back to the original design, the modifications to the side frames are such that it's simply a plug and play either way. So it doesn't modify it to the extent that you can't go back to the original design if down the road you so desire. So we've taken some of these different ideas throughout the machines, and we've taken them and even incorporated them into complete machines. So for the railroad, we brought in a reclaimer. We redesigned the whole reclaimer for them at a taconite site that they have up in Wisconsin, Superior, Wisconsin, and we built an entire machine and incorporated a lot of these different ideas throughout the different machine that we've learned throughout all of the different product lines that we've been playing with for the last 50 years. So this is literally an L&H reclaimer that BNSF is using right now. So again, as our goal as a company, when it comes to looking at these different designs and areas to provide different products, is to always improve safety. LNH is very concerned about our safety. As a company, we're proud to say that it's been over 4 years now that since we've had an LTI. We try to keep our standards very tight in making sure that we are also contributing to the safety of not just LNH, but to your companies as a whole. Because if we're unsafe, it makes your company unsafe if we're on your property and if we're doing work for you. So we work really hard to not only have a safety goal in our company, but to design products that are designed towards safety. The other goal that we have is to reduce maintenance time. Again, the idea is safety. The idea is more money in your pocket. And so by increasing that maintenance time, or excuse me, reducing it, it allows you to get back into productivity that much faster. We work hard to increase the maintenance intervals. So take those maintenance intervals and how far out can we put them and yet make them very proportionate to the other areas of the machine so that they're falling in line and you don't have to have more maintenance days planned. We want to improve sustainability. Obviously, if any of these parts last longer, then that's less steel, that's less garbage that's getting put back into the earth. So improve the sustainability. Improve production. The less time you're down, the more time you're up. And so that's the one thing that we work real hard to do again as we design these products. How can we improve the production and obviously lower your total cost of ownership? Any questions? All right. Well, thank you for your time. I appreciate the opportunity.